This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome, guys, to the Wolf and Owl podcast.
Yo, how you doing? Break it off. Give it a kiss. Hold it in your arms. It's a podcast.
Yeah, really good to be here. Always get slightly nervous with the evening records.
How are you feeling in general?
Well, I'm very nervous, Tom, as you know.
2 days off, right? You've had two sweet days off.
I did have Saturday, Sunday off, yeah.
Nice.
Well, I went out on Friday night for a friend's birthday.
Yo.
Let me ask you this. At the age of that I am, which is 44, just to remind you, what should I do when I go on a night out with friends?
In what sense? What do you mean?
Well, I'll tell you what we did do. We went to a pub and had some food.
Yeah.
And then we went to a bar where I would say we were 20 years older, 15 to 20 years older.
Man, you've made the biggest mistake there, for definite.
I know, that's what
you need to go to places.
Oh, sorry, Tom. I think you've slightly misheard me. The question I asked you was, what should I be doing? And you seem to have heard the question is, could you roast what I decided to do?
No. Sometimes it's hard to tell with you, like, because your voice, like, octave-wise, sometimes I don't know if you're confessing, like, embarrassed or showing off. Like, it's... no, there's a way there where you're like... I think, like, you think
okay,
you said
it. Okay,
let's
cut the bullshit. Can we just cut... Just, honestly, cut the bullshit for a second.
Yeah.
Do you regularly know me to show off on this podcast? Is that what you're saying?
No, but I thought this was going to be the time when you did show off. It's right. Like, oh, yeah, I went to this fucking place. I was up the oldest there for, like, 20 years, mate.
And that's a brag, is it?
No, I don't know. Like, if you were probably, like, I don't know, if you were probably 20, it would be, in a way. And, like, everyone else was a baby.
There was, this is to give you an idea of whether I should have been there or not. Two girls approached me to have a chat. Used to teach both of them.
Oh, you joke. So basically, they probably would be closer to Theo's age than yours.
Well, that's an extra horrible way of thinking about it that hadn't occurred to me, but yes, you're probably right. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying that. I think that when you're in that situation and all your mates are goading you and it's all like...
What do you mean?
Like,
they weren't goading. Goading me to do what?
No, like go to this place where you're the oldest. Right. Are your friends the same age as you? Or
no, I hang around... Like all of my mates are sort of like 21, 22.
I
just feel like you're only as young as you feel, do you know what I mean?
So, no, but I don't know if they're like in their 30s and shit. Like, if they're your age, someone's got to take control of that situation and be, yo, guys... Yo, hold it for a second.
Well, what I would say there, if somebody said that to me, is first of all, you're 44 years old. Why do you keep saying yo?
No, but right, okay. Hey, guys, listen up, for Christ's sake. What are we thinking going to this bar where everyone's going to be 20 years younger than us? Should we go somewhere else where we're more befitting for our age?
Okay, so that's the question that if we can get to the actual point of when we started this. Where is that place? Where should we be going?
Look, in London, for a start. But you want to stay in your suburbs,
no,
right?
No, I don't. Or, no, don't, look, I'm asking the question.
Yeah, no. But also, it's a drag to get all the way into London sometimes.
Sure.
And also, yeah, that comes with its own hashtag problems. Do you know what I mean? So you need to find, like...
Talk about trying to be 20 years younger than they are using a fucking hashtag in spoken conversation.
Cool. No, but there must be like a bar. If you Google now, like sort of like, I don't know, like older person's bar in Crawley, okay, or like, you know.
Okay.
No, 40-something.
So we've been doing this. This is like, what, 3 minutes of chat here for you to tell me to use Google?
No, but like Wetherspoons, I always find, is quite an older
fuck
crowd.
Fuck you. Go fuck yourself.
You could just pop there.
I honestly, I thought this is a problem I'm having. I'm going to ask Tom about this and like use it as a great way of, you know, helping people out. And you said, go.
No, but if you came
said
to my
Google
town,
and Wetherspoons, those are the two things you come up with.
If you came to my town, I'd take you somewhere and go, I know for a fact that we would almost be the youngest ones there by probably 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? It depends what you want to do. Do you want to be a rule breaker? Do you want to be edgy? Do you want to be the juvenile one? Or do you want to be like the old fucking Gandalf vibe?
Well, I was the Gandalf vibe. I achieved it.
Yeah, and you didn't enjoy it, did you?
No.
So it's actually like,
I didn't mind it. The truth is, I didn't mind that because I just was chatting to my mates. What I do slightly worry about is it looks a bit awful.
I think it looks creepy if you're in a place
I totally agree
like
with you.
20 yeah. years younger than you. It's and I think it says, especially if you're in a group of lads or a group of men.
Yeah.
It sets a pretty sort of like sinister tone off, you know.
Fucking hell! Do you know what?
I'm just saying.
Fucking
right?
hell! Do you know what? God forbid anybody comes to you for actual fucking face to face advice.
No, I'm just saying.
Try Google Wetherspoons, and you look like a nonce. Those are the three bullet points for what you said.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it would have been cooler if you'd gone or like to a place like even if you'd gone to like a National Trust building that serves alcohol, and then you'd be like the young edgy ones.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, it's my mate's birthday. I'm not going to say to him, why don't we go to Wakehurst Place? We'll check out the rhododendrons and then see if we can get ourselves a elderflower lager from the fucking cafe bar.
Yeah, but at least then, like, mate, no one's ever beaten anyone up for having an elderflower lager and looking at some flowers. No one's saying it's like... you've got to make different choices in, like, you know, with those things now.
Do you know Annie McManus, the Radio 1 DJ? Oh, well, former Radio 1
DJ. Oh, yeah.
Annie Mack, sorry. I should say
Annie Mack. Yeah. I know.
I've given her a formal name. Anyway.
Yeah. So
Annie Mack, she started this night, this club night called, I think it's called Before Midnight.
Right.
And basically, it's a club night that finishes before midnight, and it's for older people.
See, that's a vibe that I'd love that club.
I love that idea,
man. If I'm going to be honest with you,
yeah.
Jubilee party for Thursday, best one ever. Like, because of Grace, I can leave whenever I wanted.
Yeah. That's your favourite thing, a party during the daytime, loads of Union Jacks. That's your favourite thing, isn't it, when you go out?
Mate, you know the only thing that tops it?
What?
Is a county fair.
So what? You text me from the county fair. What was the deal with the county fair?
I went to the county fair on, what was that, Saturday?
By the way, happy Platinum Jubilee to everybody. Sorry, we should have. Yeah, we've been very, it's very remiss of us to not.
Yeah.
Wish everybody.
And I hope everyone had an amazing weekend.
I hope you
celebrated with your kin and you went easy and you were kind. I was wearing like a polo shirt and I was by far the best dressed person. Like, I looked like a mate. It was...
Surprise me that you're the best dressed person. You're often the best dressed person when you go out.
I don't know about that, sweet Rob. you're a lovely boy. That's such a nice compliment. I feel like a piece of dung now for like being awful to you.
Should we examine the way that you responded to my story about my weekend and how I responded to yours? And then let's have another look at these fucking emails that say that I'm the prick of this podcast.
No, but right. So it was...
I sounded really, like, bitter.
You said there was a little narc in your voice.
There was a bit. Yeah, anyway, okay. Yeah. I didn't mean that. That was effective, but it sounded a bit authentic. Anyway, go on.
But, yeah, it was a real... It was the first time I've really sort of thought, oh, there's rednecks in England.
Mm.
Like, I'll put this out there. I think I was probably one of the few people there who had sleeves on his shirt.
Wow.
Like, everyone else seemed to have sort of like muscle tops or like shirts with their sleeves cut off. One guy even had a Ralph Lauren shirt with the sleeves cut off.
What? As in, not a button shirt, a polo shirt.
You know, a button shirt, and he had the sleeves cut off.
A button shirt with the sleeves
cut off. Yeah, I swear. And he had burnt arms. It was one of the most weirdest looks I've ever seen.
But I reckon Ralph Lauren would recall that. Well, they wouldn't be happy with that. It's like
he had done everything that would... He somehow made what was quite a nice Ralph Lauren shirt. He cut the arms off it. He had, you know, that sprout of hair that you get from your back?
Yeah, I love that.
It comes over the top of it.
Sprout, yeah.
Collar of the shirt, that was sort of, But you know what? He was walking around enjoying himself, absolutely leathered on cider.
Yeah, so, fair play to him. Do you think, like, is there anybody that's suited to the sleeveless shirt? Is anyone that can rock
man,
it?
If you've got really tight, like Chris Hemsworth looks amazing. Like,
I don't know that he does.
I think if you've got nice arms and you've got just the right sort of, I think if you've got any kind of stomach fat, you can't wear a sleeveless because it just accentuates everything. It's really like, I've worn one before and really regretted it.
I'm gonna say I don't think sleeveless tops should exist. I don't think anybody. I don't care how good your arms look. I just think it looks mad.
I don't know. I think sometimes, like if I've been in the gym and I've seen like anonymous people and gone, fucking hell, he looks really good in a sleeve. I wanted to go up and just shake his hand.
Yeah, the gym they look good, but like, yeah, fine. In the gym, that's gym wear. But there's a lot of gym wear that I wouldn't deem suitable for going to a bar where I was 20 years older than everyone.
I think we need to go back to the 90s where there's sort of a certain dress, bit of decorum shown in certain pubs. Like, I think wearing a sleeveless top, yeah, I agree, to a pub is just not on.
Unacceptable, right? It's not unacceptable, it's acceptable, but it's not great.
Also, I do think if you are going to wear a sleeveless top, it should be paramount that you wear deodorant.
Yeah, I just...
I noticed at least 25 to 30% of the people I came into contact with at the county fair definitely didn't have deodorant on.
But also, if you're sort of walking... if it's a busy venue, I just don't think you should be wearing... It's your responsibility to keep what's essentially weaponized parts of your body under wraps, do you know what I mean? Because, you know, different people are at different heights, aren't they? What you don't want is a sort of a head-to-armpit contact being made.
That would be my worry about wearing it. It's just that I'm out there and my, armpit hair would just be like... Do you trim your armpit hair?
No.
I have done once.
But you've made me nervous now that I don't...
No, I did it once and ultimately I regret it.
I shaved my armpits once.
Yeah, I've done it. It's the worst thing.
It's not a great shout if you're not going to continue doing it. If you're making a lifetime commitment to shaving your armpits, then yes, I think that's fine. If you're doing it on a whim because you were bored and there was a razor near you, and then you're going to grow it back, it's one of the worst things that you can do.
Obviously. I've done it where I was like, I shaved all the hair of my body once, like, and it was the worst mistake. I literally got through
that must
it like
have been a hell of a week.
No, joking aside, right?
Yeah.
I make the decision to do it from the bottom up, right? And by the bottom, my ankle's up, right?
Yeah.
Got halfway up the first shin and thought, this is a fucking mistake, this. But then I'm fucking in.
That would have been, you're not in. Halfway up the first shin.
Yeah.
You're not in.
Mate.
Let me tell you something. Halfway up the first shin, you can abandon that.
You're joking. You can't walk around.
I'm not joking.
Half a shin to shave.
Halfway, yeah. What? Right? Sorry, it's a choice between living with half a shin or shaving your entire fucking body. You got doubts? The shin.
These are the times in my life where I wish I knew you when I was younger.
No, but if you'd have gone, I did half of my. Even if you did your one leg up to your ass crack, one side.
No, but I still think
we can have a chat about it.
This is the difference between me and you. When I start something, I will fucking finish it, mate.
Okay. I mean, the fact that you think that's a brag. And then somebody, you'll say to somebody, let me tell you something. Just imagine you down the pub. Let me tell you something, yeah? If I start something, I will fucking finish it. That's a promise. Have you got an example? Yeah, I do, actually. I just got to shave my body. I got halfway up my first year and I thought, this is a fucking mistake. But I thought, no, I've committed to this. And so I did my whole body. And that's how you find me now looking in front of you like a glistening seal.
if this is the thing. Now we're on. If I was to sort of like go through such a thing now, I would text you and go, look, I'm halfway up my leg here, mate. I'm halfway up the shin. What should I do?
Yeah. And I would have texted you back, you can walk away from this, mate.
But that's, I think, why we make such a, like, it's good to have friends. Because, like, in a way that you've asked me for advice about, like, being a bit weird and old, like, and being worried about being in a bar and being, like, the oldest person there. And I'm like, look, mate, this is what you should do.
I think my question was, where should somebody of my age go out of an evening? That was my initial question that's led to this, what is essentially fucking B Rabbit at the end of 8 Mile, fucking absolutely character assassinating me.
Right, no, I'm just saying, right? Is that, that's why it's like, that's one of the beauties of friendship, I think. You know, it's that thing about walking down a beach, isn't it? And like, you're like, oh, fucking hell, when times were hardest, there was only one set of fucking footprints. And I'm like, yeah, because I was carrying you, bro.
No, because you fucking bent me over and called me a fucking old nonce.
And pushed you in the sea.
Oh, God.
It did throw me my mind back, though, to when I used to work on the at all the festivals.
Oh, it's festival season. How do you feel about festival season starting?
I love it, man. Mm. You know, like, it threw me back. I walked past the donut store and threw me back to a time where I fell in love with a woman who ran a donut store at a festival.
What type of donuts were they?
Ring donuts.
Are you talking about proper ring donuts? You're talking about the little deep fried, you know, where they...
Oh, the little deep fried ones, yeah. Yeah, those ones, yeah.
Okay. And so what happened?
I was working at the festival season. And at the time, I had a stall, but also we were doing some, just helping out the fairground as well, which is quite fun. And yeah, there was a girl who ran a donut stall. I mean, in the end, it's like she actually sort of, and she wasn't a particularly nice person. But you know, when you sort of see someone and you think, oh my God, that's exactly what I want from a woman.
What, regular supply of donuts?
No, she had a way about, you know what I mean? She had sort of like this doesn't make her sound like the best, but like she sort of always made a joke about drinking Stella, and like, but she was attractive, and I sort of like, yeah. Like at the time, it's what I sort of thought I required in life. That's the thing about, like, at that time in my life, she was, that would be, oh my God, that's the sort of person I want to marry.
So you went up and bought, did you keep buying donuts from her so you could chat to her?
Yeah.
And then how far did the relationship go?
Well, that's pretty much as far as it
goes. How did you determine from that she wasn't a very nice person?
No, a couple of times we got drunk and then she said, in her company, a couple of her friends knew the guys that we were rolling with from the fairground. And, she was in her company a couple of times. And it probably took two or three times. And then seeing her when she'd had a few drinks inside her, she was quite aggressive and had some pretty sort of views on the world that I didn't really agree with.
Mm.
But it's weird though. Have you ever lied to someone, like a woman, to sort of...
I don't think... Yeah, I mean, I've lied to women before. I little white lies, do you know what I mean? Like,
for example, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, there's two ways of looking at that. Does that come from a deception? Does that come from a deep-seated lack of self-confidence?
I think it's all self-esteem, isn't it? It's when you've not got any self-esteem.
Well, no, so, I mean, look, there are some lies that people tell to be manipulative. And there are some lies that people tell because they're so ashamed of what the truth is. And I remember, you know, without getting into too many details, because actually even for this podcast, I find it slightly embarrassing. But like, there are times when maybe I've intimated to certain women that I'm more experienced than I otherwise.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
What you don't want is a girl to think that she's about to make an indelible life experience with you.
Also, that is like the worst one, because it's so evident if it goes the way it's going to go that you aren't that experienced.
Know,
that or you just
my God, I know that the sort of turmoil of wanting to do something sexually, but sort of knowing that if you do something sexually, it's going to give away that you've never done that thing before.
Not just never done it, just never done it well. Just completely make a fool out of yourself.
God. My one-size-fits-all approach to foreplay is quite breathtaking, I've got to be honest with you.
I've had some stinkers when it comes to sort of like that. Like, just situations where you just literally... God, even now my stomach just turns. It's a terrible thing to think that that's something that you're bad at.
And like, yes, I guess so. I mean, the idea of splitting up with Lisa... I mean, obviously, let's just put aside the absolute heartbreak and turmoil of that split...
Yeah.
But the idea of trying to engage in sex with somebody new, I can't even begin to fucking think about it.
Like, genuinely, like, it's... I'm going to say this now. I found it the most intimidating thing of my fucking late teens and all of my 20s, yeah. Pretty much.
I mean, I don't... Look, the truth is, Lisa and I, as far as I know, have been exclusively having sex with each other. We're like fucking Captain America of sex. We've sort of been frozen in this time capsule. Like, techniques may have, like, fucking moved on insane. I might end up with a girl and, like, just thinking, what the fuck is she doing? She's sort of helicoptering around the room. Thinking, what the fuck's going on? I'm not used to
that. I found it... I could potentially have a pretty good game, right? Like, in the sort of situation of sort of the chatting up and the sort of, like, getting with the person.
Mm.
But then, which would be like a game of football where you've actually had a good 90 minutes.
Yeah. Extra, I mean, I imagine, what, minute and a half before you mention Murder Successful. Then you go to King Gary, minute three, dear.
No, mate, I had none of this. I mean, that's what I've got now. Back then, all I had was like... bounding around like a fucking golden retriever.
You're so funny. Do you know what? If Dan had your sense of humour, you'd have the perfect man there.
Oh, thank you.
I heard that so many times. Anyway, go on.
I used to find it so intimidating. Like, I'd say it now, like, the thought of, like, you know, you get to the situation that you're working really hard to get to, and you think, oh, that's a bit, but yeah, that's the moment we come together. I used to find it just like a penalty shootout. I'd be absolutely terrified.
Mm.
I'd shrink. I'd say, I don't really want to take one. Let someone else do it.
I just sort of thinking about it now, like, If I got into a situation where I was trying to talk to a woman again with the idea of trying to sort of take that further, I don't know. I don't actually know if I've got it. I think if
me and Catherine split up, I think I'd just become. I'd go.
Do you know what? Like, I think
Scottish Highlands.
Yeah. If I split up, I'd try and convince you to split up with Catherine so we could move in together.
Yeah. I'm that pathetic that I go, oh, that's a good idea.
It'd make it easy for the podcast.
Yeah, we have to do 2 or 3 episodes a week. God, that'd be sad.
Welcome to the Wolf and Owl. We went out again, didn't we? Tried to chat to a couple of girls.
Went back to Ramesh's bar that he always goes to.
Yeah.
Everyone's a bit younger than us.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Okay, now listen, before we carry on, I need to... There's something that... One of the problems with this podcast is that we suggest things and then we never follow them up.
Yeah.
So a few weeks ago on this podcast, we talked about the fact that you said that you invented my guy, as a saying.
Yeah. Right?
Okay?
Yeah.
And you were saying that Jamie Redknapp stole that from you?
I didn't say he stole it. I said I think he liberated it.
Okay.
Until he ran with it a bit.
Now, I've spoken to Jamie, and I've asked him to come on and sort this out.
Okay.
And I'm going to give him a call now. And, look, I don't know what he's going
to
say.
The thing that worries about me is you're very... This is the sort of thing where we need to be careful that you're not going to, like, be malleable in this situation. You're not going to...
All right, let's do this.
You've got to listen earnestly.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, is that Jay?
Yeah.
Hi, Jay, it's Ramesh.
Ramsky, what's going on?
Hello, mate, you all right?
Yeah, mate, I'm good. I'm just, yeah, all good. What's news?
Also, Jamie, I'll tell him I'm here.
Okay, so sorry. So, Jay,
basically...
I'm not being serious. So, basically, this is... Do you remember I talked to you about coming on the podcast, right?
Oh, already prepped him, so...
No, I've not prepped him. You can't hear... So, Jay, I'm going to tell you what Tom's saying, because he's on my headphones, so you don't know how to hear
it. Yes, Jamie, it's me, Big T.
Okay.
So he's saying hello.
You don't get very serious that often.
No, I'm not sorry, I didn't...
Like my dad, like, when I come back and, like, done my homework.
I'm not. Sorry, I'm not being serious. I'm just trying to set this up, Jay, so it works properly. So, this is the situation. A few weeks ago on The Wolf and Owl, Tom Davis said that he invented the phrase "my guy." Now, I'm pretty sure I've heard that from you the most, but Tom says he thinks that you took it from him. So can you just clear up what exactly the deal is here, please?
Yeah, I snatched it off him.
What?
Boom.
Yeah. I just thought it was a great set. I thought, I just loved the way he said it and thought it's cool. And he just makes it like sound cool. The way he even does it with his hands. I just thought, my guy. So I just, yeah, I nicked it. Comedians nick each other's stuff, though. Shut up.
Oh, Rom. Fucking still take that kick in.
Jamie, are you winding me up now?
No, mate. He knows.
Yeah, he's the first person like that carried it off. And I just thought, I'll have some of that.
Wow. I can't believe this.
So Romesh should have to do a dare, please.
Just telling the truth.
Jamie should pick a dare for you to do.
So first of all, well done. Tom's sitting here like a dog with two dicks right now on this Zoom. The second thing...
I also made that saying up.
Tom,
you've
yeah, yeah. Tom's saying that you've got to think of a dare for me now because apparently I've lost the bet. So is there anything you'd like me to do, Jay, to, by way of apologise?
Oh, what does Tom think, first of all?
What do you think, Tom? Have you got any suggestions?
Part of me wants you to run naked through Crawley.
Okay, I'm not going to run naked through Crawley. This is fucking...
My guy. Actually, by the way, Tom, that's why you are my guy. Run naked through Crawley. What's that film? Like, you know, that Will Ferrell. What's his name?
I don't know what you mean.
What film's that?
He runs through the...
You're talking about old school?
Old school.
That would be fucking funny, Rom. That would be legendary.
In Crawley, they love you. The people will follow.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. That would be so funny.
Yeah, listen, Tom, Joe. Listen, both of you. Let me just tell you something. I can't see the set of logic that leads to, because Jamie Redknapp stole the phrase, my guy, I've got to run through Crawley naked. I don't understand how that fucking works.
It would be amazing, though.
It works.
It would be so funny.
I tell you what else you should do, right? Because as we're doing this now, I'm looking at a confidence vote with the Prime Minister. I'm watching Sky News.
Yeah.
So why don't you put it out to vote for all the brilliant listeners of the podcast? And if they think it's a good idea, I think you should do it for them.
Mate, I agree.
Okay, Tom agrees with you. So what we're going to do is, we are going to do this. Jamie Redknapp's suggestion. I'm putting up to vote. By the way, when I say this, we're putting up to a vote, I want logical responses here. Do people think it's logical that because Jamie Redknapp's... By the way, I'm still not sure that you're not saying this on a wind-up, Jay.
No,
Jamie Redknapp stole the phrase, my guy, I now have to run through... What? Where are we talking about in Crawley?
Well, is there a shopping centre or would
I'm
you...
I'm not running through the shopping... I'll get arrested. I'll run through a park.
Right, a park.
Okay.
But you've also got to let everyone know when it is.
I'm not letting... Okay, yeah, I'm not promoting it like a tour show, mate. It's just...
Come on.
Hey, Jay, he doesn't promote fucking half the stuff he's in.
I loved it.
Okay. Well, look, Jamie.
Tell Jamie I'll get a picnic.
Tom says he'll get the picnic in for the day that we do it if we decide to do it. But we're not going to do it because I trust in the listeners. Jamie Redknapp, thank you. Say something, Jay. You're the first and probably, let's be honest, only guest we've ever had on the Wolf and Our podcast. So thank you, mate.
I'm very privileged. Thank you for having me.
And
what a legend.
Listen.
I love you, boys. I love the podcast. So keep it going.
Thanks, bro. All right, Joe. I'll speak to you soon. Love you, mate.
See you soon.
Okay. All right,
take care.
Bye, guy.
Bye.
Wow. First thing in the picnic, humble pie.
Can I just say something? There's no way he's telling the truth.
He is, man. I tell you, I did. Like, I can even tell. It was in Rotterdam.
Even if he did believe that, I just don't think he'd admit it on the call. He's done it on the wind.
I swear. AJ, I reckon even if we got AJ on here, he'd say the same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, everyone. So the big vote. Please vote in your numbers. Vote in your droves. Should Romesh, should we set like a distance that you have to run naked?
No. We're not. Look. We're not opening this whole thing up. Look, guys. I'm imploring you. This is obviously a bullshit idea. Why should I have to run through Crawley or a part of Crawley naked because Jamie nicked the phrase? It doesn't make any sense. It makes absolutely no sense.
No, but we're like, as political figures, we're going head to head, right?
No, this. So, but I don't give it. Look, I said, let me. You're so fucking pleasing yourself. I said to Jamie, look, can I just ask you if you nicked my guy? So why do I have to do a forfeit now? Because he nicked it. He should be doing the bloody forfeit. And by the way, let's be absolutely honest. I think if people had a choice in who they want to see run through Crawley naked, I don't think you need to run a vote on that.
I'd strongly disagree with that. I think, especially the people of Crawley, and it doesn't have to be Crawley. If more people like, if there's another town who want you to run through, then I'm saying it's closer to your house.
Okay, well, look, guys.
And also, you could run through naked looking for other bars to go in.
The Wolf and Owl listenership. Do you think I should run through Crawley Town naked? Because I don't understand how it makes any sense. By the way, can you hear these? Can you hear this?
Yeah, I like this. That sound. It's one of my favourite sounds.
Yeah, but does it? Yeah, it's quite noisy in my house, isn't it? I do like it, but I don't think it's great for a podcast. Okay, should we do some emails?
Let's do it, my baby. I mean, to be fair, I'm just absolutely pumped about the My Guy thing.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I haven't done... Congratulations, by the way. I still don't believe that Jamie's telling the truth.
Mate, I swear it's true. I bet if you go back to that episode...
Have you texted Jamie?
No, I swear we haven't. We haven't.
Because I saw you on your phone before when I was talking about calling Jamie.
I was not texting Jamie with that. I was actually texting Flo about another level of merchandise that we might be doing. Pretty exciting.
Yeah. Tom, do me a favour. Don't say things that we've half-assed so far, okay? This is insane that you've mentioned that. In fact, I'm going to suggest to JT that we beep it out.
Okay, right. Anyway, okay.
Let's do some emails. First email. This is from Martin.
Wow.
Very short email.
Yeah.
Dear Rom and Tom, please settle this age-old debate. Is it ever acceptable to carpet a bathroom? Thank you, Martin.
I don't think you can in this day and age. I certainly wouldn't. I wouldn't advise it. Now, I'm going to throw a little bit embarrassed. I don't know. Like, this is the most embarrassing thing. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. Have you ever been so drunk, right?
I think I know what you're going to say.
You know, you go so drunk, you get so drunk, you sit on the toilet for a wee, and then somehow your penis hasn't gone into the pan.
I actually wrote a scene in a sitcom about this.
And you flood the fucking bathroom floor.
Yeah, I've done that. Well, I haven't flooded it. I mean, I don't know how much piss is coming out. I haven't flooded the bathroom.
Well, yeah, no, but it's...
You sort of basically set up a little waterfall of piss down the front of the toilet bowl out onto the floor.
Yeah, but then I was so drunk, I didn't realise I was doing it, so I literally, relieved half of my bladder and then realised that there was water, fucking piss around my feet.
Yeah, I've done that. I think a lot of people have done that.
Because you know when you're really drunk and then you start getting annoyed with yourself and you're like, I've done this 100 times, but how have I got it wrong today?
Yeah.
And it was, yeah.
How old are you?
This is probably about 5 years ago.
And rough estimate, 5 years ago, you thought you'd taken 100 pisses, did you?
No. No, sitting on the toilet, I've literally only got into in the last few years. Whenever we.
Fucking hell. Okay, go on.
Standing on, that would never have happened if I'd stood up.
No. Yeah, obviously, yeah. I would like...
No, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've pissed everywhere standing up because my aim's been off, but not to that level.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? You sat down
thinking this is going to protect me from pissing on the floor. Yeah. And what you've done is pissed exclusively onto the floor, yeah.
And then, you're then having to clean, mop the floor at fucking 3 a.m. and have a shower afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fucking grim.
Yeah.
So... If we'd had carpeted floor, it'd have soaked through the carpet. I'd have had to get the whole fourth floor laid down.
Yeah, 100%. And this is the other thing. So first of all, you hit the nail on the head. It's a hygiene issue. Because whenever I've been to somebody's house, not so much now, obviously we're sort of, of an age where it's slightly less of an issue, although it depends on the people's houses you're at. But when I was in my 20s, I would treat sort of bath mats and sort of the little things that go around the toilet that people used to have. I would treat them as toxic. I wouldn't want them to be anywhere near my skin or anything like that. And
do you pick them up for you?
No, but I'm just saying, if you, I would sort of I just don't want to be anywhere near them. Do you know what I mean? Because you just don't know what the fuck's happened to them. Do you know what I mean? And they hold on to like whatever offensive materials have been near them. And actually, I'd go as far as to say, I you know, if my hand touched one of those things, I would contemplate sort of sanding the area of skin off. Just to remove that section.
I remember like this guy that I used to sort of knock about with, and he had like a really thick shag carpet in his bathroom, and looking down at his carpet when you went for a wee was one of the most horrible things that you'd ever seen. Like old bits of toilet paper and stuff, like sort of like shredded toilet paper and stuff like that. It sort of it was fucking grim. That was enough for me to say I'd never ever get a fucking.
I had a weird scenario. I'd love to know what you would have done in this scenario. I had a weird scenario where, so like my mum and dad got their house repossessed, right? And we ended up getting put in like a.
Yeah.
We were in a council flat for a bit and then we moved into a council house, right? And they couldn't afford to get carpets put in the house, right? When we first moved into the house.
Yeah.
So we just didn't have carpets for about like 3 years, right? In our house. So
would you have like just bare just wooden floors? Yeah,
just have wooden floors,
which is like very chic now.
Yeah, they weren't, but they weren't varnished and polished. It was, like fucking tetanus incidents waiting to happen. Basically, just like nails poking up through the thing. But like, basically, having friends over, and you sort of, like, I remember like liking a girl, and she sort of knocked for me when I was like 15 or something like that, and. It sort of got to the point where I had to sort of grab my coat and I couldn't, like, I can't remember what it was, but I think I had to invite her in for some reason because it would have been awkward to leave her on the doorstep. And she came in. I can't remember what I said, but it was just the look on her face, because it's such a mad thing to. Also, I hadn't mentioned it at that point because I hadn't anticipated her seeing the inside of my house. So she comes into the house and then she's like, oh, and I go, oh yeah, we don't, we don't actually have any carpets at the moment. And it was fine. But shout out to John Warrington, one of my best friends. His family donated their carpets to us when they moved house.
Oh, really?
So much, yeah.
Oh, man, that's a beautiful thing. But that's a really beautiful thing.
It was a really beautiful thing. But what I wouldn't have done, even if they'd suggested to it for free, is carpet in the bathroom. Because carpet in the bathroom is unacceptable.
Mate, it's the worst. You know, like, my dad had to build... in our first house, he had to build a sort of like an extension outside because we had like an outdoor toilet in our first house.
Yeah.
And then he built this, like it literally worked all the time. And then at the weekends was building an extension because he couldn't afford builders in at the time. Our first bathroom was sort of like proper bathroom. But I remember like that thing when you were younger, going to people's houses, like had new builds and fucking new money of the 90s and sort of like, and you'd sort of feel like, it's so weird to say, and I feel really bad actually saying it now, but you've sort of had this sort of, my mum and dad worked so hard to give me and my sister the life we had, but you'd sometimes go to these people's houses and you'd feel like, fucking hell, like, it's not as shiny and brand new as this. And you'd feel like a sort of sense of embarrassment.
I think
that's a weird thing as a kid. You'd never really, you know, you never know how hard and how much your parents worked. And never to be, you know, and obviously never said as a kid, like, oh, you know, da da da. But I sort of feel quite sad about that now. I should have been proud, actually, that my dad built everything in our house. It was like, we never had money to, you know.
What I would say to that is, I feel exactly the same way, but you can't be expected to.
Oh, no.
You can't be expected as a kid to have that level of understanding. But, like, I sometimes do think, like, when we were living in that house, I was quite embarrassed to bring people back to the house, like, because whatever, as a kid, you don't want people to see that you're living like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you sort of look at it from your mum and dad's point of view. I mean, how heartbreaking it must be for them.
Working aside.
I mean, my dad at that time was being a bit out of order. But like, certainly from my mum's point of view, she's working her ass off. She, you know, and then her kids, like, you know, you don't, when you think about it from that point of view, it's heartbreaking. I mean, what I would say is, we've taken quite a light-hearted email and turned it into an incredibly dark chat. But, you know, what can you do?
That's a deep root place, man.
Listen, when the wolf and I record in the evenings, there is no email they can't turn into a dark, sad story. So there you go. This is from Mark the Leopard Gecko.
Go, Mark.
This is quite a tough one, actually. Dear Wolf, Owl, Swan and Cat, my question to you is, did you hold any beliefs as a child which in retrospect were ridiculous? I don't mean anything as an adult told you, anything an adult told you for a laugh. Brackets, my uncle had my cousins believing for years his appendix scars from him getting shot in Vietnam. He's from Peckham and he's never been to Asia in his life. But thoughts formed in your head. I had quite a few of these. Number one, due to confusion around the TV show named Jim'll Fix It, I thought for years that the presenter's name was Jim'll Savile rather than Jimmy. Well, as misconceptions about Jimmy Savile go, I would say that's not the worst of them. Number two, I was convinced that colour was invented at some point in the 60s. Before then, I honestly thought everybody walked around in a black and white world. My God, this is blowing my mind. I'll tell you why in a minute. Number three, I've never in my life taken a poo with a top or any other clothing on the upper part of my body. From as far as I can remember, I just presume this is the case for everyone. It was a standard part of the procedure, such as washing your hands. It was pointed out that this wasn't the case when I was 15. My older brother saw me buttoning up my shirt coming out of a cubicle in a poolside toilet on holiday. As I was already 15 years invested, I've continued with this routine. I'm now 45. Fucking hell. On the animal theme, I also have a mate who up until his 20s thought the sparrows grew up to be pigeons. this is a fucking great email, by the way. Did either of you have anything like this, or was I just a simple child? P.S. Has Todd been collaborating, writing with the Brighton, London band Dreamwife? They have a song on their latest album called You Do You. And one of the lyrics to a song goes, we're the youngest we will ever be. We're the oldest we've ever been. Right here, right now. I now can't listen to the album without thinking of Tom's sweet-natured face, which enhances the experience. Oh. Kind regards, Mark the Leopard Gecko. Tom.
Wow, Mark. What a legend. I was told by my mum as... first I was told by my mum that if you didn't wash your hands after you went for a wee, you'd turn into a puddle of piss. So I was absolutely, from first school, when you first start junior school, if I saw people who boys who wouldn't wash their hands afterwards, I'd tell you've got to be careful because you might turn into a puddle of piss. Obviously realised quite quickly that sanitary-wise, a lot of young boys don't wash their hands. So that my mum was lying, but actually stood me in good stead. Still to this day, I want to wash my hands. The other one I got told was when I first started, I was probably 15, 14, 15, started like first working, like sort of doing labouring and working around sort of blokes, you know, sort of my cousin and a couple of other people. And they told me that in your life, you only get 500 wanks.
And then what happens?
I don't know, they just said you only get 500 of those, right? So I started in my head counting out the ones I'd had.
And you thought, fuck it, like, I'm 100 in the hallway.
Yeah, and judging by my success with him, I'm going to need to string out the next 400. I obviously realised quite quickly, within the next 5 to 6 years after hitting the 500 mark, actually within the next year, no, you did have more than 500. But, little things. All penis-related stuff, really.
Yeah. Thank you for your email, Mark the Leopard Gecko. With regards to I was convinced that colour was invented at some point in the 60s, before then I honestly thought everyone walked around in a black and white world, I was suggested that as a line in a sitcom. And I've got to apologise to Ben Green now, because Ben Green suggested to me that we had this kid have this misconception that the world was black and white before they came up with colour. And I said to him, that's fucking mental. Nobody would believe that. And it turns out Mark the Leopard Gecko did. So
also, a very good plug for your new sitcom, Avoidance, coming out.
Oh, God, Jesus Christ, that reminds me. Wow. Fucking hell. That reminds me, Avoidance.
Amazing plug.
Avoidance, BBC One, 9:30. Extremely anxious about it coming out.
Are you excited?
Am I excited? Yes. It's just, I don't know. So difficult. This is easily the worst part of the job.
But then you should just, try it. It's hard because I know you're feeling, but, you've done a good job. You've put something good together. Enjoy the pluses.
Okay.
In life, so often, as I'm finding out, there's a lot of negatives. And what you've got to try and do is just ride the waves of success.
Keep your powder dry here, because you're running the risk of getting into a story about a gecko and an ant in a second, and then we'll have a right nightmare. With regards to point three, I've never taken in my life a poo with a top on the upper part of my body. Here's the thing that I thought when I was a kid. I thought for a long time that white people did white poos.
Did you really? Did you really?
Yeah, for quite a while. And then I'd never seen a white poo, obviously. I mean, obviously there's white dog shit, but I'd never seen a white poo. But for some reason, I just thought everybody I know is brown and they're doing brown poo.
Yeah, that sort of makes sense.
And then I don't know when that was.
Yeah, that must have blown your mind, like when you must have been in like the school sort of toilets or something.
I mean, the first time I asked, you know, somebody to shit in front of me so I could sit, like that was a hell of an experience. Mark the Leopard Gecko, thank you so much for your email.
Did you ever know you would have got bog washed? Or like, was my biggest fear of going to secondary school.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrified of it on a date. Like, I, in my life, I've never ever heard of anyone who's been bog washed. Never.
No.
Like that, you know, when you're talking about things you believe, I remember like sort of someone saying, like, you know, like someone's older sister or something, like one of my mates' older sisters going, well, you've got to be really careful because, like, you know, a lot of the time, like, there's a lot of bog washing that goes on, or like wedgies or whatever. And you're like, oh, fucking hell. Like, I think probably for the first year of secondary school, I didn't go to the toilet once because I was just terrified of being in there and getting fucking bog washed. Mm. It would be interesting if any listeners had ever.
Yeah, look, if you have been bog washed, I don't really want you to have to sort of recreate the experience and send us an email just for Tom's satisfaction.
No, I'm just interested.
Right, look, it's time to wind this up. Listen, before we get into your closing thoughts, Tom, I'm going to say I think you've been 8 out of 10 of this, and I think I've been 6. There you go. Right.
Sweet barber.
Tom, go for it.
Yeah. What's happening? I want to say it's okay to ask for help. It's very easy in life just to bowl along like your titan carrying the big Atlas upon his shoulders that his father, Zeus, I believe, gave to him. But actually, carrying the world of and its weight of problems upon your shoulders can become tiresome. It can become quite hard. There's no shame in asking for help or just turning around to a friend and saying, yo, I'm struggling a little bit at the moment. Real strength comes from admitting the things aren't okay, that you are struggling, that you could do with a little arm around you, a little kind word. In the last couple of weeks, I've discovered that myself. I started edging through life, staggering a little bit as more and more problems and what seemed like more and more heartache sat up on my shoulders. And I was reluctant to talk to people. And this week I did. And it felt that the world that was sitting upon my shoulders became a little bit lighter. And the stagger became a walk. And each day became a little easier. Reach out, people. It takes strength. My guys.
Tom, that was
you look really even sadder than you did before.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for listening to The Wolf for Now. We'll see you down the street.
Thank you so much for listening to The Wolf for Now, guys. We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Peace out.
Much love.
Bye-bye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.